Hey guys, we're back with another special kind of podcast with you guys. This is Sooner from Turn Zero Gaming, and we are back with a top four interview with the four competitors who managed to squeak out a top four finish at the NashCon convention. NashCon was a convention recently in the United States that had about 36 attendees. Which I believe, in the States at least, is the biggest in real life tournament Marvel has had so far. I'm sure it's going to get bigger and bigger, but that is the biggest so far. And so we're going to do a little round table and a little interview to kind of pick the brains of the top four competitors. So if you guys want to introduce yourselves, and I'll go ahead and introduce you guys, and you can give me a little gaming background about you guys. So for one of the first top four was Mike DeLuca. Go ahead and introduce yourself, Mike.
Hello, I'm Mike. I play a lot of MCP. My gaming background is, this is like my first miniatures game. I come from like TCG land with like Magic and that sort of thing. I enjoy, hobbyist board games. I was in college, it's like Catan was like the gateway game, but you know, I like Marvel Champions, I like Great Western Trails, probably like my favorite board game. So yeah, play a lot of Marvel. It's basically my dream game. So
very cool. Mike is a machine right now. So next we'll go ahead and go with Justin. How are you doing, Justin?
Good, man. I'm a little
otherwise known as Jimmy DeHand. Yeah, on Discord.
On the Discord, you'll see me as Jimmy DeHand. I am very active on like the Turn Zero Discord. I post sometimes on the main MCP Discord. But my, lack of claim to fame is I don't really play on TTS. So a lot of people will know me just through like talking and shooting the shit with like our Discord stuff, but I don't really play on TTS. My background, I have an extensive miniature game background. I've played mini games for the past, almost 30 years. Between Blood Bowl, it was like my gateway game way back in the day, Warhammer Fantasy, 40K. I've done some Star Wars Legion. I did a lot of Imperial Assault back when that was a game that was active. And, you know, various other card games and other nerdy pursuits.
Very good. Very good. Well, and last but not least is Merzane. You guys know him from Advanced R&D. His real name is Josh. What's going on, man?
I've been doxxed again. I'm doing good. So my background in gaming, in high school, I got into Magic the Gathering, as most people, you know, is like one of their gateways into this like weird nerd hobby stuff. Played that for a while. Through up until Return to Ravnica, and then one of my friends got me into War Machine in 2013. I'll always remember because that's when my faction released, and I played that until Marvel Crisis Protocol came out, and then that same friend got me into Marvel Crisis Protocol, and a lot of the same developers from Privateer Press that I'm familiar with. Game kind of clicks in a lot of the same ways, but is a lot more fun, I think. And so that's kind of been my thing. I've always been pretty competitively minded, but too lazy to really get hyper competitive. But I've been more inspired with this game because it's so fun to do all forms of gaming in this game.
Yeah, I agree. It's very good on all fronts, casual, competitive, semi-casual. It can kind of scratch the itch of any of those for a player.
Yeah, absolutely. Unlike, War Machine, my biggest complaint was you really couldn't play casually if you were competitive and vice versa, because it felt like you were playing a completely different game. But in Marvel, it feels like I could go from a competitive game straight into a casual game and not feel like I've done anything different. Like maybe I've changed some characters around, but the transition's so easy.
Unless you're Black Order.
Unless you're Black Order. Well, no, because if you bring like Black Dwarf and Ebony Maw, that's
fair.
You know.
Hey, our season 5 winner, Ulysses, he brings them for demo games.
True. So...
Welcome to the game.
All right. So let's quickly just kind of run through what everybody was affiliation they were playing and just do a quick little rundown of your roster. You don't need to do Crisis or all your tactics cards, but just to kind of the characters that you were running. So, Mike, why don't you go ahead?
Well, you guys were playing affiliations. I didn't.
Absolutely mad lad.
Yeah, so the list was started with X-Men. Like, I had Jean, I had Cyclops at one point. Like, Gwen was in there at one point. Found out that playing Storm on any kind of C-Secure is completely terrible and was, like, all of my losses. So decided to... Jean and Cyclops got the axe for the models that win the bad matchups. So, like, Nebula on, like, Sword and, you know... I don't know. I mean, Enchantress and Medusa were always there. I guess Lockjaw came in for like anti-Black Order stuff. Who else is on the list? I'm forgetting. There might be one other one. Yeah, I mean, I was going to play X-Men if like the crises came up where like I could steal an extract and like run away and then sit in the back and like gun people down. Fortunately, in my games I won Prio, I mostly just played Sword because my opponents weren't teched for it. And then the games I lost Prio, my opponents all played Research Basin to me. So I was like, well, Storm's bad on this too, so I guess I'm just playing Affiliated.
Yeah. What scenarios were you mostly trying to force? Did you have a specific scenario or crisis that you felt really comfortable with?
I'm really comfortable with Sword, I would say, like at low points. Like the Enchantress 5 wide is really, really strong. I think I played it like 4 games out of the whole league, or like league the whole day.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm like comfortable on Demons too, if I can get like an extract advantage and sit back with like Cable, Domino, Medusa, that sort of thing. That situation just never happened at the tournament.
Yeah, that's a pretty strong list to kind of basically form a gun line. You get up in points and say, I'm just going to kill you, and my action economy is going to be better than yours.
Yeah, with like Storm Jump, you can basically double tap with... Well, Cable can double tap on his own with Body Slide, but Domino and Medusa with like Storm Jump and Royal Decree, they can pretty much never use move actions.
Yeah, that's pretty strong, so... were there any affiliations that you were looking to dodge or any affiliate? You know, you said you felt a little weak originally with the C-shaped scenarios. Were there any matchups that, you know, you felt like, that one could be a 50-50 or less?
Black Order. I feel like I had to make a lot of roster concessions for Black Order. You know, I was playing like Sacrifice, Lockjaw. Like those cards are specifically there for that. And I actually was very happy with the roster's performance against Finger Guns. Unfortunately, he got the Alien Core on the first round, which was like just awful for me. But otherwise, like I almost killed his entire squad. If I didn't have to go hunt his Enchantress down, I think I win that game pretty comfortably.
Yeah. Well, that's good to know that it held up to what could have been a weak matchup.
Yeah, in hindsight, Sam Avengers was pretty rough. I dodged him the whole day. I only played him against you.
You madman! How did you dodge him all weekend?
That is impressive. Well,
he didn't. His eventual fate was Sam.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Outside of the Sooners game, I didn't play Sam the whole tournament. I don't know.
Those were all my losses were Sam.
Yeah.
You're not wrong.
I actually have performed well against Sam in the past. I haven't played him with Vision. I played against him with Vision yet, so that caught me off guard. Cable in hindsight is terrible with Vision.
I will say that my one loss during Swiss was against Sploosh, who was running a very similar list to yours.
It was identical.
Yeah, and it was, I mean, it really is just a list of good stuff, and he knows how to use it with those crisis cards, and I mean, it was a close game, but yeah, he ended up pulling it out. That was like the one loss I had.
Yeah, him and I and Mark Garreau basically built the list. Like, I kind of started it, and then the three of us kind of fine-tuned it to what it was for NashCon.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're getting to the point where there are enough slightly overtuned 4 threats, 3 threats, even, you know, 2 threats, that making an unaffiliated roster of just the best stuff is certainly viable and makes up for not having leadership.
I do think that as more good affiliated tactics cards come into the game, you'll see less of that. Because, like, Midnight Suns, I think, is a perfect example. Like, bringing unaffiliated models who can't use Siege of Darkness feels pretty awful.
Yeah, I agree.
And same with Convocation, right? Like, some of your models just can't use, you know, Plane of Pol'dok or Astral Ring. It's going to be kind of awkward.
Yeah, I think I think they're trending, like you said, they're trending towards that of trying. And I know that I saw somewhere that Pagani had come out and said that they're going to try to make less tactics cards unaffiliated because, number one, they're easier to break when they're unaffiliated. So it's just an easier balance if you make it affiliated.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it'll be better for the game. So who knows what the future holds, but
yeah.
Yeah. No more drop-offs.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Hopefully, like, you know, like Bitter Rivals is probably the end of like the overtuned unaffiliated cards. It seems to be like that was like their first wave of the design of the game. And then I feel like we haven't really had any unaffiliated cards like that are crazy since then.
Yeah, I agree. Well, very good. So let's, Justin, why don't you give us a rundown? You had a very cool, interesting list. You know, the three out of four of us, spoilers here, played Sam Spam, but we all kind of played a little different Sam Spam. It was all a little different. So tell us about your Sam Wilson list.
Yeah, my Sam list, and this goes back to, I'm buddies with Nate from the Gamers Guild, and we were both locals here in Nashville. So we had been testing and running stuff. I had been kind of playing around with some Spider Foes list, and they're fun, and I enjoy them, but they would have gotten the dog snot stomped out of them if I brought that list to the tournament. So I was like, well, okay, Sam Spam seems like it's going to be something good. Let's test with that. And I had tested some normal ones with, like, Hawkeye and, you know, standard loadouts, and I always enjoyed when I put, like, Luke Cage on the table because of that inherent invulnerability, the thick skin or tough skin or whatever. Each one has, like, a different name. So I thought to myself, well, in the Avengers, you have 3 characters that you can bring with that ability. There's Luke Cage, which is pretty good. There's War Machine, who's in, like, every Sam list these days. But then there's also Iron Man, who never sees the table. So I thought, well, maybe I could try and build something out of this. So I started looking at other characters, and Lizard fits that mold perfectly. He's 3 cost. He goes great into the kind of spammy list. Also has a push on his attack, like Iron Man. So I started building these synergies where I would build like a very tanky core of like 5 or 6 pieces that I would bring onto the table every game, saying, here I am, I've got 4 physical defense, and I reduce the damage by 1, deal with it, knock me off these points. And that's how I played all afternoon. I ran every game almost was at 17 or 18 points, and I just flooded the board with high toughness, high defensive characters. I didn't kill a whole lot. I mean, every once in a while I'd KO a person or 2, but it was mostly just bodies on points, controlling the objectives, attrition out the games. Almost every game I had went to time. So it was very, very, very busy afternoon for me, but I mean, that's how the list was designed and played. And I think it did well.
Yeah, it was super cool. I mean, it was extremely effective. I mean, having, you know, six models on the table and five out of six of them having invulnerability was, that's so hard to chew through.
Yeah.
We ended up playing, and I think we stopped. We didn't record every time you got to block something. We missed a few, but we counted like 16, I think.
Yeah.
Something like 15 or 16, and we know it was more than that because we missed
something. It's almost like having an extra Hulk on the battlefield in the amount of extra damage you need to do to take out my characters.
Yeah, it's a kind of nutty how much damage you have to push through to like down. Not just like any one person in your list, but like a significant amount of them to like make an actual difference since you're playing such low threat characters.
Yeah, that's pretty wild. And now, same question I asked Mike, and I know that you did have a scenario you were trying to force a lot. So what scenarios were to your liking that you were really wanting to play?
Yeah, the thing that really worked out for me was every game I played, literally all five of my games in Swiss and my top eight game, I ran Mutant Mad Men as my Secure Crisis because everyone seemed to want to take the reds. So I always got the blues and I would always pick Secure for the Mutant Mad Men. And I just lucked out. It was literally every game that it was an option because most of my list has a four physical defense, so when you interact with those traps, that's what you're rolling for. Because it happened, I mean, because Nathan, you and I played multiple games, or we played our first game like in the afternoon, where I was able to hit, even when you're contesting,
yep,
two successes on those four die rolls to take control of something even when you thought you had it. It's very game swingy when I can do that a round or two in a game. And the spread of that B formation, I didn't mind it as much because I've got six bodies on the table. But if I'm playing against someone who only has four or five, I can outnumber them on points. Like there were games where I literally held down a whole side of the battlefield because they wanted to devote all of their energy on the left side. So being able to swing that with my crisis choices helped a lot.
Yeah, I think it was a really good plan. I think it worked out beautifully. I think you need to buy a lottery ticket for never discarding Mutant Madman.
I really do. I really do.
No, you're all your luck is used up, man. I mean, it'd be a folly at this point.
But no, it was really fun to watch. And, I mean, it was a really good strategy. Were there, going into it, did you have any affiliations or matchups that you just looked at and said, I really don't want to play that?
Well, I tell you what beat me, because what Kenny did to beat me was he brought demons and had Domino, where dumping incinerates onto me was rough because that negates a lot of the value of those characters where I'm only rolling three dice or two dice for defense. And yeah, the invulnerability helps, but they're not putting out a lot of damage on their attack end. So a lot of the value that they have gets taken away when they get incinerated. So I was worried about X-Force, although I didn't see any, but that would, like, Cable and Domino would have been really rough for me. I only saw demons once, and I lost that game. So, I mean, that is something that I was worried about.
Yeah. Seems like a...
Was that your game against Sploosh by chance?
Sploosh, we didn't run demons, but he did incinerate me with Cable quite a bit.
Yeah, okay.
Ours was the demons game, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The one game, the game that I lost in Top Cut against you, mm-hmm, or Zane, was Demons and Domino as well.
I think, did I pick Demons or did you pick Demons? I can't remember.
You picked Demons. I did not bring Demons.
Okay, yeah. I couldn't remember if I had somehow Jedi mind tricked you into playing Demons against your will or if I had if I had picked it.
No, I knew what I knew that was a weakness, so I did not even bring that card with me.
Yeah, I really like that list. I mean, the fact that not only do you are all your models so hard to kill, the leadership is so good on it because, you know, just getting one stamina back on those models if one dazes is huge, and being able to move, so move out of threat ranges and things like that. I mean, it just seems like an army of, you know, unkillable models.
Yeah, and like, because my two non-affiliated tanks were Lizard and Proxima Midnight, which you never see Proxima outside of Corvus list, but she was an all-star for me because that long move and being able to reposition with her spear throw was clutch in a lot of scenarios where I was able to literally flip the battlefield, where I could go from the right side to the left side in a turn by getting a long move and then a spear throw to move within one of someone. Like, that was nice, having that all day, being able to kind of control where my force presence was from turn to turn.
Justin, by chance, did you bring Extremis?
The Riot Spark over Extremis? Yes. Yes, I did bring that one.
Okay, yeah, because I know Black Order loves that because it's healing, because they're all invuln. Yeah. Seems like you got the same idea. It's really good.
Yeah. So I brought my thinking with those. Now, like I said, I didn't run them, so I never put that on the table. But I had Struggle for the Cube and Riot Spark over Extremis because power generation and healing were both things that I was looking for. So I had both of those options on the table for me.
I dig it. Makes sense.
So you could have just run a demo game at any point in time with your roster, you tell me.
Pretty much. I mean, I had Spider Infected, Struggle for the Cube, Extremis, like very starter set crisis cards.
Yep.
But affected.
I also kind of want to expand on what Sooner was saying about, like, you healing. Like, it almost, against almost every character that you run, like, you're probably going to get two successes over your defense, right? So, like, I'll roll four hits, you'll roll two successes. It only translates to one damage.
Yep.
So, like, it feels like you're working twice as hard to get damage through on your characters because of their high defense, and then because you're just, like, the most common phrase you said all weekend, I think, was, I'm going to take one, tank one.
Yeah.
Or I'm going to block one, tank one, take one.
Block one, tank one, take one. That was my phrase of the weekend.
Yeah. And like, so that one health, you know, doesn't sound like a lot until, like, you realize on all your characters, it's like two health, yeah, essentially. Or more, depending on, like, how well you roll in your blocks, because you have to put so many shots into someone to kill them.
And I want to say it was the game against Sploosh, actually, where he hit Lizard hard, but left him out of health. And, like, three turns later, after his healing factors hit a couple times, it was like he wasn't even attacked.
Yep.
Where, you know, it's like, you can really, I mean, that's a tanky list. That was the idea. I wanted to be as annoying as possible to attack into.
Yeah, after a couple healing factors and a couple Sam leaderships, I mean, Lizard's back to full health.
Exactly. And the Sam leadership on Lizard is really good, too, because he's got that medium base. So moving short with that medium base, you can actually cover a lot of distance.
I didn't even think about that. That makes it even scarier.
Lizard's good, man.
He's really so good. Really solid.
Yeah, he's got two ways to displace characters. So, you know, when you're fighting for points, I mean, he's perfect for your list. That's for damn sure.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So, all right. Well, on to you, Merzane. What list did you bring?
So, of, like, the Ben and Jerry's 100 million flavors of Sam Spam, I decided to bring a version that could go 7 wide at a lot of point values. Coming from War Machine, I'm used to a lot more models on the table. So, like, 7 models on the table doesn't feel like a whole lot to me. But I know it can be really overwhelming for to play against for some players. And it's potentially, like, really strong on output. It's kind of, like, helps average out your dice across the whole games when you have that much volume. So it kind of helps reduce variance that way without a whole lot of, like, rerolls and stuff. But I also, I'm more of a reactive kind of player. I typically don't like going in with, a strong turn one strategy or, something that I'm going to, try to perform every game. I like to be able to adjust to what my opponent brings. So I brought kind of, a toolbox of characters in my list. So I think probably the one that I was the most happy with was Domino. I didn't really think about taking her very much into the last half of the event. And she is probably the reason I won against Justin and Finger Guns in those two matchups. I brought Ghost Spider for the Black Order matchup, but realized partway through that Domino was probably just better and never ended up playing her. And then I took Okoye and Nebula because Nebula is, hits way above her weight class for 2 points for just about no reason at all. And when you're running 7 wide with her, it doesn't matter that your 7th character can't contest or control because, they're not going to chew through the other 6 anyway. And it almost becomes a terrible idea to attack her because you just fuel her and it's not helping you on scenario in any way. And it hurts you when someone else moves to get back onto a scenario if you pushed them off. And Okoye is Okoye. She kills Thanos, so she's got to be in there, obviously. And then I think another one that you guys didn't take that I took was Hawkeye. I had thought about him being a good ranged bot for E objectives or D objectives, being able to sit in the back and help pressure the whole board and use his status conditions to again help with dice variants. If you're slowed or bleeding or shocked, I can afford to have less good dice because you're going to have other issues to deal with, also having less good dice with shock or moving really slow and not being able to adjust where you need to. And it worked out pretty well. In Swiss, I went 3-2. I lost to Justin and Finger Guns and then had to play them in the top 8 to win. And was able to use that adjust, that toolbox to adjust. And so I took slightly different characters with slightly different ideas and was able to pull it out.
Yeah, you had the toolbox to modify your list. My list was very blunt force, I'm going for a tank option. And if I have to pivot to something else, I really don't have the ability to do that. So you being able, Domino was your MVP in both of our games. I think yes. That was a great add for your list.
Oh, she put in more than enough work for me. And yeah, your list asks a really important question, which is, can you deal with 11 bajillion health with models that have 600 defense dice or whatever? And mine's just I don't know. I may have that answer in the bottom of this barrel somewhere. Oh, there it is. In Crisis Selection, I just went with stuff I liked and was comfortable with because Sam Spam can kind of do anything. I brought Sword and Spider Foes or Spider Portals for Black Order, and that was the only targeted ones I took. And it turns out Sword isn't good for Black Order. Don't let Black Order players fool you into thinking it's a good choice for you, because it's not. other than that, yeah. I would just look at what my opponent would bring and be like, what are you most uncomfortable with? This one. Okay. Let's roll with that.
Coming into the tournament, when you were kind of prepping and decided to play Sam, were there any affiliations or, characters that you were really, wanting to dodge or not run into?
Black Order.
that's a constant theme.
It seems to be the theme of the evening here.
So in the TTS season, I played against Ulysses, who won, who was a fantastic Black Order player. And he just kicked the absolute dog shit out of me in every form of the word. And I was absolutely terrified of having to play against another Black Order player. I stressed about that matchup probably way more than I needed to. And I remember talking to a lot of people about you don't have to worry too bad because Sam Spam's pretty good into it. And I was like, no, you don't understand. I don't think it's going to be good into him. I got to be able to beat him.
Plus, you mean Ulysses was supposed to go.
And Ulysses was supposed to come. Yeah. But Finger Guns ended up coming, and he brought Black Order, and I had to play him twice. I played him in Swiss and lost. It was still a great game. Like, I felt like I actually gave him a game, which I don't feel like I did with Ulysses. I feel like I kind of got steamrolled really hard in that game. And then the little bits I learned from those games and conversations I had with people, I was able to make the comeback pretty decidedly, I would say. 18 points, Spider Portals with Domino, Iron Fist, and Okoye just charging straight at his Thanos. Put him in a really tight spot.
18 is also kind of like an awkward point total for Black Order.
Yes,
like
it is.
That extra point just does them no favors, and it does everything for Sam Spam.
Yep. I took him to 18 because I was like, well, you've got two choices. One, you can play a point down, or you can drop the Time Stone for Valkyrie. Either one I'm fine with. And he goes, well, you did. It was the second one. I took Valkyrie. And I think it was Nebula or Sam. One of the two just walked over and casually one-shot her. She flipped. She killed Nebula and Sam. And then War Machine decided to put her into the dirt himself. And so now he's sitting at 3K. Like, he's basically just super far down for almost no gain. And then the worst part was he got the alien, not the alien ship, the Skrull. Yeah, the Skrull. And like, I tried to trade Black Widow. I took Black Widow in that match at Black Widow 1. I traded her to go for it. Didn't succeed. And he killed her, like, top of two. And so she just became, like, two Sam triggers, and we both agreed that was probably the best use for her.
Yeah, that's worth the two character points.
Yeah, I got to advance two characters. Thank you for that 2 points.
That's funny. All right, well, I'll do a quick rundown of mine. I was also playing Sam Wilson. I had a similar list to Merzane. I kind of leaned a little more into the beams. I had both Enchantress and Vision, along with most of the same characters. I originally did have Ghost Spider in. I ended up cutting her because I felt like I had better tech into Black Order. I didn't really need her. So I actually cut her for Enchantress, which I ended up playing Enchantress quite a bit. So it was seemed like a good cut at the time. But yeah, I ran, you know, Sam, War Machine, Iron Fist, Luke Cage, Okoye. It's funny because in all my testing, I was doing what Merzane was doing and playing 7 wide at 17 and above. And I ended up cutting that because I just felt Black Widow, kind of like you just said. I just felt she wasn't worth it. She wasn't worth the 2 points, and I wasn't getting enough out of it, even though it was being really successful. I was like, I think I can even make it better. So I just kind of conceded 6 wide at 17 and cut Black Widow. For me, I took Research Station, and that was one of the ones that I kind of leaned into because Enchantress and Sam Spam, I feel, is very good on Research Station, especially with Vision and War Machine with all those beams and all you got. If they want to come and try to contest the Research Station with a bunch of models, good luck surviving a 3 or 4 team beam with all you got.
I believe I was on the receiving end of that tactic in our game.
You are. even with your tanky boys, War Machine took 3 out of 4 of them out.
Yep. The only one he didn't take out was Lizard.
Yep. And he only left him on 1 or 2.
Yep.
yeah, I mean, it's impossible not to set up a really good beam because with Avengers Assemble and Sam's leadership, I mean, it's just impossible. There's no way you can set your models on the table close to the Research Station where I can't reposition and do the beam.
Or Enchantress Bow.
Correct. Yep. Yeah, and Enchantress is Enchantress and Vision because, you know, Enchantress is great because she can bow multiple people But I mean, Vision has a two-cost throw that he can do pretty much every turn. So, I mean, he can just throw a model into the line, Avenger, and he can also Avengers Assemble. So, I mean, it's pretty much impossible to get out of that beat.
Yeah, his throw is just insanity. It's one of the best in the game.
It is. Vision is an underrepresented character. Unfortunately, I think Medusa and Enchantress pushed him out a little bit, but he's really good.
I think Kenny, Merzane, you had him in your list, right?
I didn't. I almost had him in my list. I decided to cut him for. I think I ended up cutting him for Luke Cage. Okay. I decided that one of the pieces in my toolbox I was missing was someone that was really survivable. I don't value the five dice from Vision as much as I do the four dice block one from Luke Cage. And I think that ended up doing a lot of good for me. But I think revisiting it, I would probably drop Hawkeye and or Ghost Spider for Medusa / Enchantress and or Vision. Some combination of those three, I think.
Yeah. Also, sorry, Ghost Spider is actually like not great into Black Order despite what people think. They're very good at backstopping. Like, they'll just stand in between Gwen and your model and then kill the model that you want to lifesaver and you can't do it.
Yeah, and like in the Sam Spam build, she's just kind of a liability. She doesn't do anything. Like,
yeah, she doesn't do any damage. You're not trying to control. You're just trying to like out attrition with numbers.
Yeah, so I think like the one thing she can do occasionally is just randomly murder someone if they start within two of her. and like, she's not a bad all you've got target if you've only got one or two guys you need to kill. But like with War Machine and Iron Fist and Nebula and Okoye, Domino, like I just
you're not hurting for choices.
Yeah, you like you got a lot of options.
And then like one of the primary reasons I didn't take Enchantress was I have a friend who paints all my stuff, and I had handed him a bunch of stuff already, and I didn't want to hand him Enchantress to paint to. I could have taken Vision because he's painted, but I wanted to take a fully painted list, and that last minute swap to Luke Cage really did it. And I would, like I said, I was sweating the Black Order matchup. So anything anyone said was good in the Black Order, I was trying to shove in my list somewhere.
It's funny because I sweated the Black Order matchups too, and I didn't play against it once all weekend long.
I had to play against it three times.
No, there were only like three people that brought it. How did you play against it three times?
I played against Sam twice, and then my local Dimple Pig, who, by the way, won my last local with Black Order.
He did indeed.
Black Order Wakanda.
Black Order Wakanda. It's a solid list.
I played him round three, and he ended up taking Wakanda, but I was like, but it was Wakanda with Corvus, so it's like Black Order light. It was I took the sword. 14 points, and he didn't roll as good as me, so I won.
Yeah, I Black Order, of course, was something I teched pretty hard for. I felt really good into it. I didn't run into it, but my team was straight teched for Black Order. I would have not been upset if I would have ran into a Black Order player. Kind of like you pointed out earlier, I think if you can win Pryo and get Spider Portals with Sam against Black Order, it is really, really hard for the Black Order player to win that game.
Yeah. I think it's one of the few things in the game that really feels like a super one-sided matchup right now.
Yeah, they don't have the models to constantly flip. And the strength of what Sam can do is they can flip and then move off the point to go to the fight. So you're fighting these, you know, three or four Black Order models with all of your models. And Black Order cannot afford to take a movement to the portal and try to reflip it and then try to get back into the fight. Because their action economy is so important that they can't. It doesn't work. They have to use their actions to kill, kill, kill. And so in my experience, I'm by round two, I have three or four of the portals already. And pretty much the rest of the game, it's just me kind of surviving and getting around Corvus and just keeping those four portals, and the point spread just gets out of hand too quick for them.
Yeah, that's definitely very, very good into them.
Yeah.
So, like, anything you can do to like divert attacks, sacrifice bodyguards, Iron Fist, Heroes for Hire, like it's, those are your best bets against them. And unfortunately, you have to like you have to make so many roster concessions against them that it's kind of unfortunate at the moment. Maybe the field will curb them a little bit in the future.
Yeah, we can hope. certainly hope. So, all right. So those are the four lists. Like we said, Mike was playing X-Men / really unaffiliated.
He was playing just a list of good stuff.
Yeah.
And I really Justin, wish, sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, I really want to wish I was in the head of Mike when he just made the conscious decision, like, F it, I'm just going unaffiliated. Like,
dude, so I wanted to play X-Men. Like I said, it's just like, anytime like the crises like came up, it was like, well, I guess I'm not playing Storm this game either. So,
so I'll get into the couple specific questions I had for each list. So we'll start with Mike because this is a good segue. How did it feel playing without a leadership? Did that feel like you were at a disadvantage? Did it feel fine because you had really good models on the table? How did it feel?
It feels fine. I mean, I've played a lot of games, like test games, fun games, whatever, without leaders and stuff. And it honestly just becomes like, I think it's just carried on the fact of Medusa and Enchantress and maybe Okoye. They can just, they do so much. Like if Medusa has a hot game, like you pretty much just win. And then, you know, the obvious, like all you've got with like her and Domino can just wipe entire flanks. So it's like, yeah, I don't really, it's like, why my X-Men like tactics cards suck and Storm leadership sucks in certain scenarios, like on C when you're dogpiled in the middle, like I'm never getting cover. My jump is like mediocre and like Storm is awful in the middle. So like, I'm not really gaining anything by sacrificing my leader. You know, I'd rather just bring better models that can fight in the middle.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. And it's a great segue into my next question, which is, do you feel unaffiliated would be viable without Medusa and Enchantress?
I don't know. I haven't tried it. I think like most lists should probably play unaffiliated on sword, like at low threats, like especially if you have an expensive leader. I don't know. And those two models are just like so much above the rest of the game in terms of their control elements that it's hard to give up. I haven't really tried to play leaderless without them at the moment.
Yeah, it's something. I mean, I've never done it, but in theory, for me, those two models pretty much have to be included in an unaffiliated list. I mean, to me, they are kind of the motor behind that list.
Well, I mean, they are a large majority of our, like, tier zero, like, best of the best, cream of the crop characters. Those two and Okoye, and it's, like, most of the list.
Yeah, so, they're the high, those three are, like, if I had to make an S tier, it's just those three models.
Yeah, and I feel like if even if you did, let's say you did 17 or 18 unaffiliated, and let's just say you didn't play those two, and you played, like, the best three threats, like Valkyrie, Lizard, you know, those really good models, I feel like that wouldn't be as effective as it would by taking Medusa and Enchantress.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, Valkyrie is, like, so dicey, right? Like, if you're relying on Valkyrie to be attrition, you're going to get let down sometimes. And, yeah, obviously you're looking for consistency to, you know, place well.
Yeah.
So Enchantress is consistency in a model, so...
Were there, you know, playing unaffiliated, were there any tactics cards? Obviously, we all know. We all leaned on all you got. I mean, there's no secret about that. But
everyone,
were there any, yeah, were there any other tactics cards that you leaned on being unaffiliated?
Yeah, I mean, my other restricted card is field dressing. A lot of games, since I'm going last a lot of the time, it's just, like on sword or whatever, you can always just like revert a spike on one of your models and go capture points. And squeak out the victory. But another tactics card MVP, I guess two of them, is Sacrifice and Disarm. I've even found Sacrifice to be amazing outside of Black Order. Like, just having, like, some kind of, like, box of models, and, like, your opponent's like, I don't know who I'm going to attack. This feels horrible. And then Disarm, I found to just be insane on, like, anytime you're on a B or, like, a Fisk or a Terrigen or something where you have two flanks that are, like, separate. A lot of times, like, your opponent will spike you and daze you and give you priority or something, and then you want to... This is like your swing turn, so you're going to, like, pop bitter rivals and, like, blow up a side, but oftentimes you need to address both sides, but you can't. So Disarm just solves the problem. You just blow up the side that you need to blow up with, like, all you've got, Domino, Medusa, whatever, and then you disarm the other side, and then that's just... It's game at that point.
Disarm is also great tech in the Black Order. Being able to just... point at Corvus and say, you're going to suck this turn, is amazing.
I don't know if I agree with that, because they always have priority.
Well,
and Corvus usually goes first every round. So it's not super great there.
Yeah, Sacrifice is the money card against...
Yes. Yeah, Black Order cards are like, I'll bring, like, all you've got, Field Dressing, Sacrifice, Heroes for Hire, and, like, something else. I don't know. Maybe, like, Advanced R&D or something.
I think that's the only anti-Black Order tech, like, I really didn't take.
It's the best one, yeah. Escort to Safety is actually not that great for the same reasons I said Gwen isn't that great. They're just good at backstopping.
Maybe we should just, instead of make this an interview, let's just finish up and just make this all about, let's, how to beat Black Order. Anti-Black Order podcast.
I mean, they're the boogeyman.
Finger Guns and Ulysses. And Utility Cookie.
They're the boogeyman.
So, yeah, no, it's really good. And I'm glad you said that about Sacrifice, because I just recently put that in just for the Black Order matchup, and I couldn't agree more. I think it's underplayed. I think that, you know, on the surface, you look at it, and it's like, oh, it's just a bodyguard. Like, how good is a tactics card that just gives one bodyguard? But it's such a key, you know, this game has such limited activations that, you know, if you can save a character by sacrificing and just taking that one bodyguard, it can really swing things.
Yeah, I'll just randomly bring it on, like, Sword at 14 just to be, like, more annoying. Yeah. Just the more, like, you can't interact with my Enchantress, like, the worse you're going to have, the worst time you're going to have.
Yeah. Well, very cool. Well, let's move on to you, Justin. Some of these you kind of answered in your rundown, but how did you feel your invulnerability affected your games? Was it a large amount? Was it a little amount? I mean, we know you and Merzane already said about 16 times at least in one game. I mean, was that pretty consistent?
That was consistent, because I mean, all of my games throughout the day were either 17 or 18 points. Had one 19-point game, but, I mean, it's all in that same range. So I'm bringing a minimum of 4 invulnerable characters in those games. So you're talking about, I mean, anywhere from an extra Thor to an extra Hulk worth of health that you have to chew through to beat. Well, I say beat the list. It can be beaten without taking those characters out. But the point of the list is to focus on the objectives, focus on the secures, especially with bodies that are hard to take out. And most lists, the way that they beat those spammy lists is to just attrition out the characters, move them off the points, take them off the points through dazes or through KOs. And being able to hold on for an extra turn or two is amazing. And then onto the bodyguard point, like, Luke Cage did work for me all through the weekend. There was a game where he, in one round, bodyguarded 4 times on attacks that were in his area. Where, you know, I mean, by the 4th one, he's getting dazed, but who cares? I mean, he made up his cost in that round of defense. Or just being able to soak up enough damage. He takes like a point or two per attack and builds up enough power that he can keep going. It was impressive. And your opponent's just like, I mean, how do you, like, you have to target the characters, but if you're going to target him, I'm going to bodyguard with Luke Cage. So the amount that he tanked in that game was crazy.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. What models really stood out for you in your games?
Lizard was always great. Having a push on his basic attack, even though it's only four dice, I'm not looking for like big spikes of damage. I'm just looking for a little bit of power generation and moving people off the point. So Iron Man was like that too, because he's, you know, got a four die builder, but it has a built-in push on a wild. Same thing with Lizard. And those sorts of attacks and just movement control off just a basic builder attack is what I look for. And then I mentioned it earlier, but Proxima was also great because I have, you know, normally I would set it up so like one flank I would have Sam with a long movement and some defensive tech to try and hold one side. But being able to have another character with long movement on the other flank was really nice in my list. And she did a lot of work for me. Because when she gets that power built up, the Quantum Starburst attack, where it can deal, I can't remember, it's like poison, slow, and stun, I think, that you spend.
Yeah, that's a pretty brutal attack.
And poison, stun, bleed, I believe.
Yeah, poison, stun, bleed, that's right. So being able to hit someone with that while also being annoying and tanking on a point and being able to flip away with a spear throw was really nice, and having like another like fast mover on the other end of the flank, because most of my list is just medium move, and on Lizard that's fast, but like with Luke Cage standard, with Iron Man it's standard, you know, it's, you know, whatever. So having that other fast option on the other end of the board was always really, really, really good for me.
My last question is, how does it feel to have taken Iron Man to the top four in a convention?
I laughed about it quite a bit because he was like one of the one of the Avengers elements with that tanky build. Anytime I put him on the table, no one looked at him. Like, he was not a target. because he gets a lot better on his injured side, so why even flip him? So, you know, it, like in our game, you ignored him and he just sort of flew back and forth between the two Mutant Madmen points, just flipping
him. Yeah. He was like, oh, you have Sam sitting on a point? I'm just going to go there and flip two out of four.
Yeah.
Screw you.
I think I did that three times in that game against you. It was just, you know, like that. He generates a power turn. It's like, I might be able to, like, there was a game that I played with him where he did 0 points of damage because I just couldn't push damage through with his builder and no one was attacking him for him to build power. So I was just like, well, okay, I'll just contest points with the power I generate every turn and it works.
I believe we went five rounds, our game, and I don't believe you attacked with him one time.
That sounds right because, I mean, if I can build the power, I have Ricochet Blast in my list, and that's a great attack, but I have to have three power on both Cap and Iron Man to use that attack, and that's expensive. So I used that once all weekend, that card. Like, it was a cool tech that was flashier than I think it ended up actually being.
You mean to tell me not only did you take Iron Man, you took Ricochet Blast too?
Oh, yeah.
Dude, Ricochet Blast is pretty good, man.
It is pretty good. If you can use it, it's pretty good.
Yeah, if you like Friday AI it, you can like one-shot models from across the map.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's just funny. I didn't realize you had taken that.
Yeah.
That's so fantastic.
Funny. All right, on to you, Merzane. Was your plan to play seven wide every game, or did you... Well, what I mean by that is, like, if someone forced you on 17... were you playing Black Widow and going seven wide pretty much every game?
No. Like I was saying a little bit, my entire intention behind like almost every choice was just the flexibility to be able to do what I needed to do. So like, if I felt like the matchup or the crisis would be really good at seven wide, which I can't think of like a specific instance off the top of my head now, but like if I did find a reason that, hey, you know, seven wide would be really good here, then I would do it, and I'd have the option to do it. But it was just as much I wanted to be able to more than I feel like I was actually going to ever successfully do it.
Yeah. Did you, how many games did you actually play Black Widow, 2-point Black Widow?
I think just, I played it against Justin.
Yep.
I wanted her to be a back and forth objective runner on the Mutant Madmen. And I never really got a chance to because he just kind of bogged that side of the table down and played around it pretty well. And then, like, when she went over to the other side of the table to steal something, it was freaking Iron Fist. Who is not who she wants to see on the other side of a table, FYI.
Yeah, that's tough.
Yeah, martial artist on 3 dice? Cool. Martial artist on 2 dice? Oof. And then the other one was against Black Order, where I just used her as a sacrificial piece. her job was to do exactly what she did in Endgame.
two triggers for Sam's leadership. That's why
dropped off a cliff.
Exactly. Yeah, she went up. She tried for the Kree or for the Skrull. Oh, there's no Skrull there. I'm probably just gonna die anyway.
Well, honestly, that she is the best on the flip scenarios, like Skrulls or alien ship. Because if you can get her on a flank, flip it with her, she's gone. She's out of there. And I mean, it's hard to get her and kill her. And you know, wasting that 2 points for the core is just beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
So I think that's actually what she's best at. The problem is a lot of times you're not playing those scenarios. So,
Did you bring those two crises?
Which ones? Sorry.
Like the alien core, the Kree, like those higher point total. Like
I did not.
Dirtly ones.
The only one that I probably would have taken her in my build was Spider Portals, which I did one of the times I played it against Kenny too. I didn't take her in that game, but in the one I played against Sam, I definitely took her. And like I said, all she did was die, but you know, sometimes it's all you need is someone to die for you.
I feel like that's a song. All you need is someone to die for you.
If not, we need to write it.
Say, it sounds like a country song.
All right, so you answered pretty much most of my other questions when we went over your list. The last one is that you haven't. What models really surprised you as being, you know, really top shelf?
Domino.
Domino was your all-star.
Domino's been owning for me, man. She's good.
I was a little down on Domino because I was thinking of her not being able to get enough power to do her cool thing all the time. I realized pretty quick you really only need to do it like once or twice. And like the skull thing.
Yeah.
She typically gets enough power to do all the things she wants to do. And like most of the time you're spending power, it's to incinerate people. And that can just absolutely swing a game, getting a key incinerate somewhere.
Yeah. All the Sam buddies really like the targets to be incinerated.
Oh, yeah. The other one that really surprised me was Luke Cage. Luke Cage did some work. Like Justin was saying, there was times where he would just bodyguard the world. And there were times where, like...
Or one-shot vision.
Yeah, well, two-shot vision, yeah. I was going to say, there's times where people... I don't think his offensive output is really, like... like thought about very much, but that wasn't the only game where like I would get some good output out of
Sweet Christmas is a good attack.
The problem is getting like power on him, but
yeah, I mean it's 4 power, so it's a little costly, but
when you're like, you know, healing damage and taking damage and stuff, and you don't have a lot of you don't bodyguard, like in my game versus Sooner, he didn't get a chance to bodyguard a lot because Sooner kept just walking him away.
But he also brings heroes for hire, which is amazing. Like
yeah,
that card is crazy good.
Yeah, and that was like another part of the reason I took him was for just so I could walk him up one side and Iron Fist up the other and have heroes for hire across the table.
Well, you know you're destined to win the tournament whenever your main game plan in a round is to walk Luke Cage up and get a stagger off his double wide power, double wild power man punch into me.
Yes.
Which was a strategy employed by Merzane in the finals.
Yeah, as soon as I saw Merzane do that, I was like, oh, he's going to win this game.
Yeah. Yeah. Lining that up on five dice. Not bad. Not bad.
Well, I didn't get it.
He didn't get it. It was the confidence.
He killed me. It was better. He killed me.
Oh, yeah.
Oops. I meant to stagger you. My bad.
Well, the entire thought was, so I really want to get the stagger and the throw so I can effectively activate vision. Because I didn't think I was going to kill anyone else, so you wouldn't be able to, like, trigger Sam. So, like, vision can't go to Beamtown, like, right after Enchantress. So, like, there's literally no downside to doing this, because even if you, like, I fail, you're just going to have to move up into his bodyguard range anyway. And it's all going to be bueno. Well, then I just fucking killed him. And I'm like, there you have it. I guess, like, we didn't need to do that.
Full health vision, rolling just as many defense dice as attack dice, and
I took three damage on the builder, and then I finished him off with the Sweet Christmas.
Yep.
Well, I'm sorry, I did two damage on the Sweet Christmas, and then the throw finished him off.
Yeah, I was watching the dice tray for that, the Power Man Punch attack, and I saw it was like a crit and a wild or something.
I was like,
oh no, he's going to roll the wild off his crit.
I was like, I was just thinking, I saw that, I was like, oh god, it is Destiny.
Yeah.
Well, it was a good play, because my vision didn't do shit that whole game, so.
Well, it's funny too, because like, it's not a good play. It just worked out.
Sure. It's a play. I'm not saying it's a good play.
It was a play, and it worked out. I don't know if I could have what else I could have done in that situation, honestly. Which is one of the reasons I just said, like, F it, let's just do it. Because if it works, it works. If it doesn't, I don't think I'm any worse off than I was before.
And that's, you know, that's one of the things about this game that is extremely frustrating at times, but also so fun, is, you know, like you said, I mean, that's not going to work majority of the time. Usually you're just going to power up vision and he's going to clap back, but like, when it does work, it's huge, you know, and it's a lot of fun, and it's swingy, and it's, you know, it wasn't fun for me, but it was sure a lot of fun for you.
It was, if very I want fun. A balanced game, I'll play chess. I don't want exactly. A balanced game. I want swingy, like, you know, there's some stuff that's good in certain things and not good in others. I want that variance.
Yeah, but I agree with you. I mean, Luke Cage is a very good model. He's good, better on the table than he probably
looks. He looks boring. Like, his kit looks boring, but when you put him on the table, he's actually pretty solid.
Yeah, and I feel like he kind of got outshined by Iron Fist, who is so obviously, like, a problem for your opponent if they don't have an answer. Like, he doesn't have an Iron Fist to activate one of your characters, but like, he's just consistently good when you play him correctly. Like, he's not going to die.
Iron Fist has been dying.
Yeah, like, defense, that's been my experience.
Hit skull.
Yeah, like, martial artist is really good until it's not.
Yeah.
And then your Iron Fist just gets one shot by, like, Black Widow or something, and you're like, oh, well,
yeah,
a lot of good that did me. Or like,
no, he's very good, though.
Even worse, you go, I'm going to Heroes for Hire that, like, rinky-dink attack so that I can throw your guy and keep my guy safe. And then you do, and then that rinky-dink attack rolls, like, three crits and four wilds, and you rolled, you know, a block, a hit, and a wild or whatever, and you're like, oh, well, I just died.
Like, yeah, you hate to see it, for sure.
I rolled a lot of four die attacks that weekend, and you'd be surprised how many times it's like, oh, I got crit wild on this roll. Sweet. You roll four dice thinking, oh, I'm not going to do anything, and all of a sudden you're dealing like three or four damage. It's like, well, all right. Well, yep. Done, Lizard.
And that was one of the things that impressed me about Domino. Like, something I never thought about until like I was playing her was she can't die to four dice attacks ever. Like,
nope.
If she's full health, you literally cannot kill her on four dice attacks. The odds of one-shotting her on a five die attack are, like, astronomically low. And then, like, in my game versus Finger Guns where I won, like, Thanos was swinging into her for, like, one and two damage a pop. Which, well, it's Thanos.
Shutting down those criticals is really, really clutch with her.
Yes. It was far more impactful than I ever imagined it could be.
Especially into Corvus, because he treats those skulls as crits. Like, killing that extra die or two that he's rolling in, that helps a lot. Like,
oh, dude, she is a Corvus Slayer.
Yeah.
Like,
yes.
Yeah, he doesn't get his crits, like, and she planks him through his invulnerability.
Yeah.
Like, it's really bad for him.
Well, like, you incinerate him, and then he's rolling two dice, and, like, he's not critting. So you have you have so much more chance to, like, actually sneak two damage into him on one shot than, like, a lot of other characters do, even when he gets incinerated and he's rolling two. And then, like I said, like, he runs up and he's like, cool, I'm going to Glaive's Edge you. And it's still not great odds that he'll one-shot you. And, like, he could probably two-shot you, but then he had to, like, waste both of his actions on her.
Right.
And that's not a good feeling for Corvus to spend two actions to kill her.
Yeah, she's been great in the Black Order for me. I really like her.
I think she's probably my favorite character in that matchup right now.
Yeah. Yeah, her Iron Fist. And I'll even have Domino be the sacrifice bodyguard when I play that card sometimes. Because, like, yeah, she just doesn't really get spiked.
Yep.
So she's pretty good for that.
Can I interject with a quick question for people?
Sure.
How many times do you guys think that you actually got to use the Iron Fist?
I use it almost every single game.
Yeah, I'd say it's once per game at least.
Once per game?
It's only once per game, but it's pretty much every game that I put Iron Fist on the table, I used it at least once.
Right. That's kind of how I felt. And did you, like, how impactful was that attack typically for you? Was it like you're winning and it just contributed, or were there times where, like, you were probably behind and it swung the game for you?
Both.
Nice.
Yeah. It doesn't even have to do damage. Like, most of the time it doesn't do damage for me. I mean, I've had it spiked twice in my entire life.
Yeah, I would agree with that. It usually doesn't do a whole lot of damage, but I mean, the activating the character is just so enormous. I mean, I do it once to twice a game. I would say every single game. And a lot of times, like you said, it's kind of win more. But there's sometimes it changes the matchup. And again, we've gone into this at length, but like in the Black Order matchup, it is enormous, right? Because if Corvus can't kill Iron Fist and they have a lot of tech to keep Iron Fist alive, then he's going to activate Thanos. And that is like,
That's a disaster for them.
It's almost
half their list shut down.
Yeah,
it's almost an instant loss.
Yeah,
right there. So,
yeah. I think what impressed me more was it was thinking back on it was the first and the last game of the event. My game versus Kenny and my game versus you. I was able to use the Iron Fist to kill people on the one damage side gig.
Yeah.
Yep.
Against you, it was probably the best one ever. Like, I one-shot your War Machine, right?
Yep.
And then killed on the one damage, I killed your Iron Fist and your Vision. And against Kenny, it was the game-winning play to Iron Fist his Iron Fist to activate him at the top of the round. And then the one damage killed his Doctor Strange before he had a chance to heal the one damage.
Gross. Off of him.
And, like, that was a KO. So, Strange gone. All he had left was Nebula and Hawkeye to activate. And I had basically my whole list. He's like, that's game.
Yeah, that's a disaster.
Yeah, in retrospect, I mean, at the time, I was up 13-9 in our finals game. And, I mean, that attack won you the game.
Yes.
In retrospect, I misplayed. You know, we talked about this. I should have Heroes for Hired it. And not the Iron Fist. I should have Heroes for Hired the Flying Kick to get in there. And my Iron Fist was only on one health, so he would have dazed, very likely. But if he doesn't daze, then I get to throw you out of range of the Iron Fist, so you won't even get to do it. And if he does daze, then I could have moved Vision and healed one. Yep. And so Vision wouldn't have died. So yeah, it was a misplay on my part. But yeah, that attack won you the game. I mean, you went from 13-9, and you basically that killed all my characters, and you won 7 points and went to 16-14?
Yep. The last plays were your Sam killed my Sam, my War Machine took your Enchantress. Then you passed. I aggressively went after your Okoye with Nebula. I was unsure why you did it, but Okoye left the point, I think, to stay safe from the loot cage that was right there.
Yep.
And then as soon as you finished the activation, I counted all the points and said, if I can get all the points, I win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I moved. In retrospect, I should have left Okoye on the point. She very likely would have got thrown off by loot cage, and I still would have lost. But I'll be honest, I didn't see. I thought I was preparing for next round. I didn't see the 7 point. I thought I was up enough, and I didn't realize that you could have scored 7 points that turn to get to 16, and it was just a bad play on my part.
I also didn't recognize it until you moved. Like, I was going to go for your back point to get as much as I could, but I was under the impression that I wasn't going to get it, and that I wasn't even thinking about like how many I was going to get. It was just get as many as possible, make it as hard as possible for you to recover next round.
Yeah, another thing I could have done is, and this is getting off to a tangent, but you know, when I killed your Sam, which was was a round later than it should have been, which was huge. I should have also put my Sam on one of the demons, because that would have prevented you from scoring 7. Yeah. Because one of those models that you just double moved to pick up the spider infected, you would have had to actually attack him.
Yeah.
So yeah, I made a few mistakes. Like I said, I didn't see the 7 point swing coming. I felt like I was gonna win the game, or at least be in it in that last round, and it was a really good play by you.
Yeah, and it's round 8, right? Of this long 2-day event. So like,
yeah, those minor mental things are expected at that point. It's
exactly.
And that was a good game of, I think, showing a lot of different swings and highs and lows, because, I mean, I don't know about you, Merzane, but I was kind of in control of the game, majority of the game. I mean, I was up in points pretty much the whole game. And, I mean, there were just ebbs and flows of swings, you know, where my Enchantress left 3 out of 4 guys on 1 health and didn't kill them. And then, you know, something happened in my favor, and there were just a lot of swings.
Yeah. And like, one of the things I said afterwards, because I used all my tactics, I burned my tactics cards super early, was my entire plan was, because I felt like, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, I felt like your team was way more tech to beat me than I was tech to beat you.
It was supposed to be. I mean, it had 3 beams to beam all your, you know, supposed to be easier to kill models, but they were not.
Not quite as hard to kill as Justin's, but yeah.
Like, I vividly remember, because Sooner's Enchantress destroyed me in the previous game with all you've got, and I was like, man, you know, sometimes that just doesn't happen. Like, that, I've all you've got Enchantress, and she just doesn't kill stuff. And then he's like, no, that happens pretty much all the time. And then it was justice to see her fail in the finals.
Yes. The big fail of it was not killing Sam, because my plan was to take out Sam round 2, which he should have died, and then round 3, Bird of Prey him and kill him. And once I get that leadership off the board, I felt like there was almost no way Merzane could come back. I was in the points lead. There was no way. Sam had 2 damage on him when Enchantress went in for the all you got. I did 15 attack dice into him and a size 2 throw, and he lived. That was the game changing, in my opinion. That flipped the game from I was in control to now these things are starting to spiral.
I if you remember, my very first Sam play was to long move him within 4 of your Sam and throw a shield at your Sam. And my words were, this is to assert dominance. This is a bad idea, but I'm asserting dominance over your Sam right now.
Yep. Yeah, I wish I wouldn't. I wish I wouldn't. And what is it, again, this is all a tangent we'll move on from. But when I shouldn't have moved him up onto the point, but I did. I moved him up to incinerate him, and he still didn't die. So round 2, not only did I do all those attacks into him and he already had 2 damage, he was also incinerated.
I think he lost the incinerate at that point.
You did. At some point you shaked it. But yeah, it was sad. But that's the way the game goes.
I mean, Okoye also can roll 5 blocks on dodge, right? So
exactly. Yeah. I mean, my game with Sploosh in the top 8 was very close. And he did a cable throw into Okoye, and I rolled 5 blocks to block all of it.
Yeah, he threw a size 4 bulkhead into you, and you took zero damage.
Was it? No, it wasn't the burrito. You threw the burrito.
I said bulkhead, not burrito.
Yeah, I was trying to figure.
No praise, Dale.
I couldn't figure out who threw Dale.
Yeah, it would have been interesting if Okoye would have died. Sploosh was very confident he was still going to win if that happened. I'm not near as confident for him. I was up 7-4 at that point, and we only had like 1 round left. But that was certainly the game clinching play. I mean, it was brutal. It was so funny because I rolled it so nonchalantly. Because I was just like, okay, Okoye's going to probably die here. And I rolled it, and I was just like, oh my god, did I really just roll 5 blocks?
Yeah, I remember you just like rolled your 3 dice, 2 crits showed up, just picked up 2 more dice, rolled them. And then you just look at Sploosh, you're just like, 5 blocks? And then he's just like, I'm done.
Yeah, that was about the best Okoye moment for me I've ever had. So, yep. Okay. Well, let's move on. We're almost to the end here. I just got a couple more questions for you guys. Obviously, you know, we did well, we made it to top 4. So what's the best advice you can give to players looking to become more competitive? And I'll start with, let's start with Merzane here.
Oh God. That's a weird question for me because, like, I was the last time I went to NashCon was like 2 years ago in playing War Machine, and never would have seen myself winning. So, like, for me, it was playing something that you're comfortable with, for one. Like, I don't know. I feel like Sam Spam wouldn't have been good. If Sam Spam wasn't good, I still would have played them and felt confident. Like, play something you're confident in. And, the other thing that I think is really important, hydrate and snack often.
Yeah, hydrating is very important because your brain turns to mush if you don't have some liquid in you.
Yeah, I still felt really good like going into all of my later rounds because I had brought like a huge pack of water for everyone to drink, and I was drinking like a bottle every round or two. And eating Ritz crackers between every round just to keep up. Like, Cowboys have never be hungry, never be thirsty, and like felt really good because it's an endurance match when you're going
eight rounds. I was chugging water the whole day.
Yeah, ditto.
I did wonders.
I think a lot of people don't think about that. Like, they get all the practice in, they get their list built, they study the meta, and then they get to the event, and then they get tired round 3 or 4. Like, they go get like junk food for a snack. They drink a bunch of Coke. They get pizza for lunch or something. And it's like, you don't necessarily have to eat healthy, but just eat something like good enough and snack and hydrate as much as possible.
My go-to is normally like a trail mix or something where it's just like protein and sugar that can keep you going through a game. And then you keep drinking your water, munch on the trail mix. Yeah, that's what gets me going. Now, I mean, everyone's a little different when it comes to that stuff.
Yeah,
but
yeah, that's good. The good advice, Mike. What's the best advice you can give players to looking at? And when I say more competitive, I mean just in general in MCP.
Yeah, just to level up your game.
Yeah, if somebody's looking at like, hey man, I went to NashCon and I got 30th. I want to go next year and I want to get top 10. Like, what advice would you give them?
If your name,
some
is
things Kenny. I've been doing lately that have been like instrumental for me is, I list all my games in a spreadsheet when I'm like testing the list. Like, I'll list, you know, who got prio, what was the threat level, who won, what were the squads, and you can, after a lot of games, you can easily identify like what you're losing on, and then you can adjust for that. Another kind of not super helpful advice is play a lot. The more reps you get, the more things become like kind of autopilot and you don't make the, you know, silly mistakes as often. And then another thing that helps for me, so I work in software, and for interviews, they often quiz you on like algorithms questions. And the common advice is to just like speak your mind and keep talking to like your interviewer so that you can, you know, figure out the problem and they can help you. And for some reason, the brain works really well when you talk things out loud. So oftentimes I will just talk out loud during my games of like, what if I go here? Then this happens. And then all of a sudden, like the best move just kind of becomes apparent. And then you just do that and seems to have pretty good success.
I'll second that. I talk through my turns a lot, like partially for clarity for my opponent. And then also because like, yeah, sometimes like being able to talk to yourself about what you're doing can help you better visualize it.
Sometimes you have to say it out loud to know that an idea is stupid.
And then you do it anyway.
Yeah, this idea is fucking terrible, but I'm doing it anyways.
Yeah. What was, Mike, what was Merzane's quote in the finals?
Yeah, it was that. This is a fucking terrible idea. I'm doing it. Mama didn't raise no bitch.
Yeah. Funny story. My mom watched that whole game.
Yeah, she was like, "You're damn right.
You're damn right. Yeah,
I didn't raise no bitch."
Well, you know, you say, Mike, you say it's silly, you know, playing games, but I think the one thing that more than anything in this is just repetition. I can tell you, I've played all 5 seasons of TTS. I did very well the first 3 seasons. I was playing a ton. The first 3 seasons, I was practiced with my list. I knew what was going. The last couple seasons, I kind of took a break and I wasn't practicing at all. I was just showing up and playing my season games. And I mean, it was a noticeable difference where I made tight games or I made misplays. I probably wouldn't have made them if I was very practiced. And it kind of came with NashCon. You know, I practiced a lot for NashCon coming into NashCon, and you could certainly see in my play. So I think the best advice is repetition and playing and practice. And I mean, it's pretty simple advice, but it is the best way to become competitive in my
opinion. Also, one more thing is it's very important to be objective with your characters if you're trying to win. I know a lot of people have like pet characters and stuff, and sometimes that just doesn't work. Sometimes you just have to make the cut. Like, I love Jean and I love Gwen, and they were both in the list at one point, and I cut them on the same day, and it was like really heartbreaking for me, but you could see like the performance difference. I brought in like Iron Fist and I think Nebula or something like that.
I tried really hard to fit Crossbones in, partially to meme and partially because I felt like, you know, a really tanky person would actually be good, but he didn't make it, of course.
Well, wait a minute. You guys are getting ahead of me because I have 2 questions left. And my next question is, we're getting rid of all the, you know, NashCon and competitive talk. And I want each of you to pick who is your favorite character in the game and tell me who it is. And I don't mean favorite character to play, you know, competitively or anything that. Who's just your favorite character?
Like thematically, like with Marvel?
Yeah, who's your favorite? Oh, okay. Well, they have to be in Marvel Crisis Protocol, obviously. So let's go with, let's put Merzane on the spot.
Oh, that's easy. It's Ghost Rider.
Is it?
It is at 100% Ghost Rider. I didn't expect him to come into the game as soon as he did. I was turbo hype for him. And now I'm not.
Not even one with day. The Midnight Suns edition. You're not.
I'm sorry, but Moon Knight and Blade are just, and Iron Fist are just so kick ass as Midnight Suns. Like I was fingers crossed, fingers, toes crossed, like eyes crossed that he would feel at home in Midnight Suns. I just don't think he does.
It's because Strange is just better.
Yep.
Strange is insane in that faction.
It's true.
Yeah. Yep. I don't know what you do to make him feel better. But he is really like, he is second only to Gambit, and Gambit's not out yet.
What about you, Justin?
Well, I mean, I am a villain guy. Magneto has always been one of my favorites, and he's great in the game. I just wasn't going to bring him to this tournament because I don't think Brotherhood's in a really good spot in the meta right now. But going forward, you know, that's villain factions are going to be the ones that I focus on. Like I was saying beforehand, a lot of my testing leading up to this was spider foes. And if Mysterio and Carnage had been out, I would have brought them. Like, that would have been my list, was those two. So now that this tournament's over, going forward, I literally glued together and primed Mysterio and Carnage today. Like, that was my setup for this afternoon. After we're done with this, I'm probably going to paint Mysterio. Like, that's my plan for this evening.
Well, you get your dirty villain hands off of Sam Wilson, okay?
Hey, even with Sam Wilson, I brought Proxima and Lizard and put them in literally every game I played.
That's true.
I also had a similar thing. I was planning to play Criminal Syndicate for this event, but Mysterio and Black Cat didn't come out. So yep. They were the one. I wanted to do like Enchantress Black Cat to steal all of the reds, but I couldn't get that. I couldn't get to the work without Black Cat.
Black Cat's insanely good in Criminals. Oh, yeah. I loved her there.
Yeah. What about you, Mike?
Like, Marvel Comics-wise, it's Cyclops, and by extension, the X-Men. He's my favorite. I know people hate on him, but, I mean, I feel like I just can relate to him sometimes.
I love Cyclops. Cyclops is awesome.
Yeah. He's my favorite. And then, as an extension to your question, my favorite character to play in the game is Gwen. Everything she does is, like, my play style, and... I love her. She's great.
She's super fun. Yeah, she's super fun. Okay. Let's go ahead and end it with the last question.
Well, what's yours? What's yours? You didn't. What yeah. Yours.
My favorite player to play in the game is Sam Wilson. I love him. I like the TV show on Disney Plus.
Oh, and, I do too. We're so good.
Yeah, and I love. What I love about Sam is obviously his leadership, but I love just running on the outskirts of the table, collecting VPs and throwing my shield throw to try to push people away. It's a lot of fun to me. I like the long move. I really enjoy playing Sam. I don't know. It's probably because I'm a little biased because I fell in love with the Sam spam list, but I just enjoy playing him so much.
So yeah. I have a confession to make. I first played a Sam Spam list like the Tuesday before NashCon, and I got one test game in the night before and got crushed. But I was like, meh, too late to change now. And I literally rolled in. The game I played against you sooner was my third game ever with Sam Spam.
Oh man, don't listen to that, leaders.
Do not use that as your prep. Yeah.
We're going to have to edit that out.
I was going to say, like, had Justin not made top cut, I probably would have been the top cut with the least reps because I don't get a whole lot of games in.
Yeah, I don't either. Like,
But, like, I talk a lot to people that do, and I watch a lot, and, like, when I do get games in, I try to make them quality games, and I think about, like, every possible thing I can do.
That is true. I do talk about this game a lot. I might only get, like, a game or two in a week, but I talk about it a lot.
I
think a game or two a week is pretty normal on most competitive players. You know, you got the Mike DeLucas and the Morgan Reeds who really, really can hammer out a lot of games, but... I think that's pretty normal. I mean, for me, I think that's about this. I would say coming into NashCon, the month and a half to 2 months coming in, I would say I was getting maybe two games a week, which for me was a lot. I mean, now getting two, even three games a week when I was, you know, just showing up to play my TTS game once a week. I mean, that was an enormous amount of practice.
Yeah. Like, I think that there are certain players and certain strategies that you can take that don't, like, require a whole lot more practice than, you know, other stuff. Like I said, I played more reactive, so the two matchups I lost, I played again, ended up winning, which would have been best if I had played that rep before. But like with my playstyle being like more like seeing what my opponent does and like trying to counter, typically I don't need to like go through the motions and like Mike said, go on autopilot, because I'm never on autopilot. I'm always constantly adjusting to what's happening.
Yeah, I mean, that advice works. Like, my own advice works for me, because I'm actually very bad at improvising. I'm very much like the Batman style, where, like, I just have to over-prepare to be successful. And, like, as soon as I have to, like, think on my feet, I'm not that great.
See, I like, my game style is to throw some chaos in there and start, like, and putting you in bad situations. And trying to make, like, trying to out-improvise you.
Yep. I don't love it.
It worked. Okay, so last question. Let's start with you, Justin. What affiliation are you guys going to play, or are you interested in playing in the next either TTS season or big tournament? So for you, Justin, next big tournament you're going
to
play.
There is one important question that needs to be answered before I decide that, and that is whether or not All You've Got will be banned. If All You've Got will be banned, I'm doing A-Force 100%. If not, I'm probably going Cabal. I've been kicking around some Cabal list ideas and I'm kind of excited to try. But yeah, those are the two that I'm looking at.
Yeah, I think A-Force, I know Mike, me, you, and some other people have talked about it, but I think if All You Got's banned, A-Force is a big player in the meta again.
I think so too. Like, I think one of the big things, I think She-Hulk, I said earlier in Danger Room, I think that She-Hulk is absolutely bullied out of the meta by All You've Got.
100%, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we've been playing her a lot in our test games. We've, like, to answer Sooner's question, I am going to probably play A-Force. And if All You've Got is not banned, I'm just going to play A-Force without She-Hulk.
It's got like a lot of the models you were already in. You're unaffiliated.
Yeah, like six of the 10 models are the same.
Yeah, it sounds like an A-Force list without She-Hulk.
Yeah, so. But yeah, playing her without All You've Got, she's a freaking monster, dude. Like, just destroying everything.
So we got two A-Forces. What about you, Merzane?
I, like, am actually not sure. Like, I'm really enjoying Sam Spam a lot. I think it, like, caters to my playstyle a lot. The other ones I'm looking at potentially, of course, this all ebbs and flows based on All You've Got getting banned. I'm actually kind of interested in either Spider Foes or Criminal Syndicate, because I really like Mysterio and Black Cat, or Web Warriors. The new Web Warriors tech seems really cool. And, if I'm not playing full on chaos mode, like I do with Sam, I like playing like hard control builds. Web Warriors.
Black Cat is amazing. That piece is awesome.
Yeah. And what might be an interesting meta choice, if everyone swaps A-Force, would be to play Asgard, because I think Thor is really cool into She-Hulk.
Definitely. He's good in that matchup.
Oh, yeah.
Until he rolls like Fat Thor.
Accurate. 100%.
It's okay. You can just go leaderless A-Force, and then you just baited them.
That's right.
But then I'm still playing Asgard.
Yeah.
I think Asgard's better than people give credit for.
I've just been burned by Thor so many times.
I was going to say, I'm on the opposite camp. I think Asgard's overrated, personally. And I played him in last season. So I just think they're too dice-dependent.
They're very dice-dependent. And if you have a history of rolling subpar to average, they don't feel great.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. Well, very cool. I think that I would like to test out Convocation. That's my next thing. I kind of need them all released, which I think they're pretty much all released. We just need an exact affiliation of who's in and who's not. But I want to put them on the table. I want to put New Strange on the table and see if he's as good at killing things as I think.
Dude, they're a puzzle, man. I have no idea what their identity is. I have no idea what they want to be doing. They have a lot of random cool stuff. Like,
I have a really good strategy that I want to test out that I think is going to be absolutely brutal. but it's a certain scenario that I think it's just going to be really hard to beat. But I don't know. We'll see. I mean, I think they, as strong as I think maybe that will be or some of their other game will be, I think they have some pretty glaring weaknesses, which could be exploited. So, and I'm kind of in the, right now I'm liking one affiliation and just going single affiliation. And part of me feels like they kind of need a dual affiliation.
Interesting.
Although you talk about Convocation reminded me that the actual affiliation I really wanted to play, I'd been thinking about this for a while and I forgot all about it. And that's Hood's Gang. I want to play the Hood's Gang affiliation, wherever that may lead me.
I'm sad Hood is not the second Criminal Syndicate leader. I thought for sure he would be.
God,
that would be cool.
That'd be crazy.
Yeah.
That card's good, man. That card is real good.
Everything about him is good.
I agree. I think he's fantastic. He's going straight into my Sam spam list.
As a gun mage player from War Machine, it's really cool to see a magical gun on somebody.
Mm-hmm. I don't think people realize, too, how good. You know, like I've seen a lot of people be like, well, just get him to flip on his front side. And I'm like, the dude's got rapid fire Mystic.
Yeah.
Like
that's
really
strong.
Freaking good.
That's really
good. Yeah, it's really good.
You know who that absolutely murders? Iron Fist.
yeah.
Like there's so many people like that is just really bad for.
Yeah, I'm side-eyeing him and Mysterio for Sam Spam right now as like Mystic options.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that's one thing that they are not great at. But yeah, I'm and also I'm hoping all you got bitter rivals get banned and restricted so then I can just play all the convocation cards and not even worry about it.
Yeah, I would like to not have four of my five cards automatically picked for me by having those banned and restricted.
Same here. So well, fellas, I really appreciate all of you guys taking your time out and being on. Very congratulations, everybody, on your success at NashCon. Merzane, of course, so we got to give you, unfortunately, the biggest congratulations for winning it.
I beat him once. I couldn't do it again.
Yeah.
It was inevitable.
It was quite the Cinderella run, you know. You got in as the 8 seed, last guy in, and then you take down the two guys who beat you in the previous cut, and then you win in the finals. It was quite the Cinderella run.
Yeah, I mean, soon as Merzane sacrificed his models to Dale the Burrito, fate was sealed.
That is destiny fulfilled.
Yeah.
All right, well, guys, thanks a lot, and everybody, this will be out on turn zero, and then we'll get back to our normal podcasting in probably about a week or two with me, Todd, and Chris. So thanks for listening, and have a good night.
Thanks, guys. See you later.
Yep.
Good night.